The song of invitation is 747 today. 747 will be the song of invitation. I got some faulty information. We'll blame it on the computer. I was told that it was Pete Sr. that passed away, not the 50-year-old. So Pete Aguilar Sr. that passed away. And we have some visitors here today. Shirley and Michael from Artesia, and Roy and Fran from Haskell, big city of Haskell. And then we have Larry and Kathy here. They're just moved to Justiceburg, I believe. So very thankful to have all of y'all here today for sure. If you have a Bible today, would like for you to open up, and we're going to be reading in the book of Luke. We'll start off in chapter 6, and then we're going to move to Jonah, and we'll be reading some in the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, and then we'll move back to the book of Luke. And today, this lesson that's been prepared is a lesson that it's a helpful reminder for us of what it means to be a Christian for us. And if you was here in class this morning, we have class before church in the auditorium the same way that we are here today. We try to kind of separate for the times to help everybody feel safe and good. So we will meet like that. And if you was here for the class this morning, some of the stuff that I have prepared today is stuff that Charles brought up in class this morning. So I think he must have been thinking some of the same stuff that maybe I was. Let's start off with Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him also the other cheek. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. We all understand that God loves us. God cared for us. God allowed His Son to die on the cross for us. It's a reminder for us of how we should act. So this gives someone the right to run over you, to ask someone, let someone come back in and let them run over you and harm your family. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. You're not supposed to put yourself in harm's way to allow someone to run over you. That's not what we're talking about here. We have to forgive the wrong done to us, but not to condone the things that are bad, the things that are wrong for us. Jesus forgave us of our sins, and He expects us to forgive also to those others. If you was here in class this morning, you kind of got a little bit of a grasp of that, of how it is to forgive someone when they sin, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. I know all of y'all appreciate our military and what they do for us, because our military, they protect us and give us freedoms that we normally don't have. So we're not having to go out and do that. I don't know if any of you, I know some of y'all was in Vietnam, and I hope this didn't happen to you, but I have a guy that I know that I used to work with, and he went to Vietnam when he was like 24, and they called him old man. He was 24, and you're like, old man? He said, yeah, they called me old man because everybody was 18 years old and younger that was in his platoon with him. Well, he went over and he did what he was supposed to do. He fought and he did what he was told. He comes back, and when he gets off the plane and he comes back, he's expecting, you know, people to be there for him. Well, his family was, but other people was there spitting on him and calling him baby killer and just you know, downrating him, making him feel like it was horrible. You know, he was the worst person in the world for what he had done. And what he told me was, he said, those same people that was spitting on me and cursing me and calling me these names, he said, they was the same people that was sitting in pews in front and behind me in church. So he looks at me and he goes, I hadn't been back. I haven't been back to church since then. And you know, if you was in Vietnam, well, you're in your mid or you're in your late 70s by now, for sure. So that's a long time to be away from God and not there for him. So, and you got to look at this in all different aspects and see how something that you say or something you do can hurt someone for long periods of time. Well, and what we're going to look at today is we're talking about this reminder of what it means to forgive. Forgiveness is something that's very hard for everyone to do. And we look back on at time of things that's happened to us or something that someone's done to us, and it's kind of difficult. But we have scripture that we're able to look at, and we're able to understand forgiveness a little bit better. So let's turn to the book of Jonah, and let's see how forgiveness becomes this act in his life, and see how it plays out for him. If it's something that's in his heart or something that's outside of his heart, and then we'll move to the New Testament and we'll look into it a little bit deeper. Jonah in chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of the Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So God speaks to him and he tells him what to do. Well, Nineveh's bad. The Assyrians, they're wicked. They're the most wicked. They're brutal. So to put it in kind of a perspective, in today's time, it would be like ISIS or something like that. They're brutal, and they chop the heads off of people. I mean, these guys are ruthless, and they know what to do. They've been trained how to do it, and that's what they do. They go about it to the most worst way, whatever you can think of. That's how they go about their lives. So we look at Jonah and his response to God here. Verse 3, Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So his response was, man, I don't want to do this, right? I don't like these people, and I'm running. I'm going. I'm not going to do what he says. So that's his response. Well, his response comes with a price for Jonah. So you go into it a little deeper. After he goes and he does this, the big storm comes, and these guys are all scared on the ship, and they end up throwing him overboard, and he gets eaten by a big fish. And we just assume that it's a whale that's taking him in. And so he's living in there for a time. And he prays to God, and he says, God, you know, I know I messed up. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Well, what can I do? Help me out. You know, give me another chance. So in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, the word of the Lord came to Jonah after he's spit back out of this fish. The word of the Lord comes back to Jonah a second time, so he's given a second chance in his life to do something about this. It says, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give to you. He's told again the same exact thing that he was told before. Go here. And you know, Jonah, in the back of his mind, he's like, I know what's going to happen. And the reason that he ran was because he knew that God was a gracious God, and God was going to forgive them if they repented. He was going to give them a second chance as he gave him. And he knew this, so he didn't want that to happen. That's how much he hated them. I mean, he despised them. He hated them. He didn't want them to see this gift that God was wanting to give them another chance. He didn't want that to happen. Well, in chapter 3, in verse 5, the Ninevites believed God after he went and proclaimed the word to them. He said, listen, if you guys don't repent, you're doomed. Well, The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. What urgently means now. You talk to God right now. Let him give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. The destruction that God threatens is not a threat. It's a promise. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And these guys knew it. That king knew it, and he places this decree, and he says, hey, you guys, this is what you're going to do. It's going to happen now. And so it took place in there. God showed, he showed them at this time, he was showing Jonah that these guys don't know God. They don't know what I can do. They don't understand this, that this can happen. Jonah knew that he would give them a right or allow them another opportunity, but he didn't want it to happen. He said, man, I don't want this. In chapter 4, Jonah is sitting there sulking. And you look at him and you're like, you can picture your little 2-year-old grandson or your child when they're mad, you know, and you can remember it, everybody can, when they're upset and they're sulking, they're mad, that lip pucks out and they can step on it, it's dropped so far. He's probably like that, he's upset because he knew what God was going to do for them and he didn't want it to happen. So you can kind of picture him, and he's sitting there. So God supplies this vine, and this vine comes up, and there's a scorching hot sun. It's just murderously hot. And we have those days where it gets up to 110 degrees, and it's hot. It's miserable outside. And the wind's blowing, and when the wind blows, it's even hotter on you. So we feel this, and you can kind of understand where he's at. And he's sitting there, and this vine grows up, and then he gets his shade, and he starts feeling better. And with the wind blowing, and it's cooler on him, he starts feeling good. And then God says, now I'm going to make this vine disappear. So the worm comes and eats the vine, and it disappears, and it shrivels up, and it's gone or whatever. And Jonah's upset. I mean, he's brutally angry and mad. And God says, why are you mad? Well, that vine is dead. I had it, and it's gone. I'm upset. I'm just mad. Do you got a right to be upset? You dang right I got a right to be upset. I was comfortable finally and was sulking, and then now I can't. This vine's gone. Now all I can think of is this heat. And God says, look, Jonah, you didn't plant it. You didn't water it. You didn't trim any vines off of it. You didn't make the leaves better. You didn't put any fertilizer on it. You did zero for that vine to grow, did you? Nothing. You didn't help it at all. You did zero for it, but yet you expect it to be there for you. He said, have these people, there's numerous people here. They don't know God. They don't know the word. They don't understand it at all. They don't know their right hand from their left hand. They haven't had the opportunity for it to grow, to understand me. That's why I sent you, because I wanted you to tell them and give them that opportunity. Yet Jonah was angry. He was still upset about it. You know, he's upset because those people were so ruthless and bad. And you can look at that and you can go, well, you know, I kind of understand how he feels. Most people understand how he feels, because when somebody does something that terrible and then they're that bad, you don't want to forgive them. You kind of don't want them to have that freedom that you have. Why should they get that if they... I don't understand that. You're like, well... In the book of Luke, what we just read a while ago, we understand that bad people, you take a drug dealer, someone that deals drugs and gives drugs to children, young children, 5 years old and says, you take it out and you sell it. You go give this to all your buddies, because when they get older, they're going to come to me and buy it because they're hooked on it. People do that. But yet, they don't want their children doing it. They give their children good things. They give their children gifts. They want their children to be better than that. Even bad people want good for their children. And you can kind of understand that and put that into a little bit of perspective in your time and age of what's going on here. So we're going to move back now, and we're going to go back to Luke one more time. Back to the book of Luke, and we'll be in chapter 13 this time. Luke in chapter 13, verse 6. Make sure I'm right here. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man, who took care of the vineyard? For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found anything. He says, cut it down now. Cut it down. Get rid of it. Why should it use up the soil? Why should this fig tree have the same opportunity as these other ones that are growing fruit on them? It's doing nothing. It hadn't done anything for 3 years. Let it go. Leave it be. Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year. He said, just one more year. Please leave this tree alone. He said, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then we'll cut it down. Let's give it another chance. That's the second chance that you get, right? So he's telling just like what God did Jonah. He gave him that second chance. He was giving the Ninevites another chance. He was allowing them that opportunity. So from that, you can understand that God has patience with us. He has patience with us, and we can relate to that, and we can see that patience that he has. But also understanding that patience that he has lasted a long time already. It's already lasted a long time, and it can end any time. And we never know when that ending day is, so we always got to be prepared for that. I want you to go back up to verse 5 in that 13 there. He says, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Do y'all get that? Unless you repent. What did the Ninevites do? What was the proclamation there? It said repent. Repent means you ask for forgiveness for something that you did wrong, for the things that you've done wrong. You ask for that repentance. I'm sure, and I hope that the people that this guy I'm talking about earlier went back and asked for forgiveness for what they done to them people, because it wasn't just him that come back like that. There was numerous amounts of people that come back like that, and it pulled them away from the church. And to do that is harmful. They cut the tree down before allowing anything to prosper from it. They didn't allow the fruit to grow from the tree because of the mistake that they made. That didn't get to happen that way. So for us, understanding this, and we look back and we go, well, there's a lot of people that don't know the word. They don't know the scripture. They can't understand it. I watched a true story, and I've told some of y'all before in class, of a man that was with that ISIS bunch. He was brought up from a child to believe just like what the Syrians was. He was brought up in that way. And for Christianity Christians, you were nothing more than an ant that you would walk out and step on to him growing up. So if you walk outside and there's an ant coming up fixing to bite you, you step on it and you kill it. And that's how he was brought up for Christianity. They're worthless. They're no good. They're worse than the pigs. Even I'd feed the pigs, but I wouldn't even feed these people. I wouldn't give them an opportunity. And that's how he was brought up. And then he cut heads off of Christians. I mean, he killed people. He murdered people. He was a bad guy. But someone showed him, look, this is what you've been taught. This is what we was taught. In the time that he had them and he was getting ready to murder them and kill them. You don't understand. This is what the true word is. And he said, I never heard that before. All I know is this. So he starts studying and he starts looking into it. The guy that he was going to kill took the time to say, you may murder me, but I want you to know that you're wrong in what you're doing. Well, the guy changed his ways and he became a Christian. And he followed God's word, not the word of men. And that's what was going on in this time. People all over, they follow the word of men, not God's word. So not understanding it, not knowing it. And for us, it's like, that's kind of hard to believe that somebody around here or somebody in our time wouldn't know that with the technology that we have. There's a lot of people that has been brought up outside of that, has been brought up away from it that does not know that. And that is a true fact. That is not just a statement. That's a fact. And that happens in today's time. So we have this opportunity to show someone that. And this is where it really gets starting to get better and get good for us, because we have these instructions and we have basically a manual. So if you go build something and you get something for your kid, all y'all that's had kids, you go buy them a toy and you go, man, I'm glad there's an instruction kit with that, because, man, you can't put that together in 10 days. Well, this is our instruction kit right here. It's the scripture. It's the Bible. It's God's word. We have it and we're able to utilize it. So we was able to go back in time and look at Jonah back in time and say, look, this is a story in the Old Testament and this is what happened. This is what not to do. We shouldn't see that, and we shouldn't run from God. When we're given this opportunity to spread God's word, we should take it and run with it toward God, not away from him like Jonah did. Now, does that mean Jonah's a bad guy? He went back and he did what he was supposed to, but he was upset about it. And he had good right to be upset about it, because they was bad. And you have those feelings. We all have those feelings. Everyone's going to. There's no doubt about it. I want you to turn over to 2 Peter now, please, if you would. It's a great scripture, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we are going to be in verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Charles, I think this was your water you drank this morning, and I'm going to drink it, okay? Charles is my brother in Christ, and I love him. Chapter 3, my throat's getting a little touchy there. And Cordell brought me a water and I didn't bring it up here. So thank you for bringing that for me too. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. We just read that and we just talked about that. As some understand slowness, but he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See? Everybody to have this opportunity. Not just the good people, but the bad people also. That's what he's saying here. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. That means nothing's going to be here. It's going to be gone. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, listen to this. What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. That's the answer, right? What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Some of you English teachers may not like the way that's put out there. You ought to be. It's kind of a Texas slang, maybe. I don't know. You ought to do this. You ought to do that. This is what you ought to do. 1 John. Next page over. 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. We're talking about Jesus. This is the message that we heard from Jesus. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Y'all catch that last part there? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify, that means cleanse you from your unrighteousness. That is the scripture that we utilize to live our lives to show someone else. Travis said in our prayer earlier today, Travis said, help us to live our lives so that we can teach others, so we can show others forgiveness, so we can forgive those that might have done something to us. This forgiveness is a big part of Christianity. With that forgiveness, you got love. Love is a huge part in that. You got to have love in your heart. So when we say, we love you, God, for what you've done for us. You love Christ for what he's done for us, and that allows all of this other to work in you because you have this love. That doesn't mean to say that you're going to condone what happens. These people that are murdering Christians, that are killing them, you can't condone that. You can't say, that's okay. You just keep doing that. Come in my house and murder my family. That'll be all right. That's what I want you to do. That's not what it's talking about right here. We talked this morning about a guy, his name is Stephen, and he's in the book of Acts, in chapter 7, Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. And I told you we'd get to some of this, and Charles is he spouting off this morning. I'm going, man, that guy stole my lesson. That gummy, he preached it this morning early already. No, he didn't either. It's there, and we need to utilize it, and we need to take it. This guy's being stoned to death for being a Christian, okay? He's being murdered at the time that this takes place. Verse 60, this is Stephen. Then he fell on his knees. Stephen falls on his knees, and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That means he died. He died this earthly death, but he only did for a little while because this was a godly guy. See, he has the sin gone out of his life. He understood it. He said, look, these people don't yet realize what they're doing. Give them another chance. That's that second chance we talked about. He said, they don't understand yet, Lord, so don't hold this against them. Giving them a second chance. Now, this is at the worst time in your life. You're about to die, and you've been brutally beaten with rocks. I mean, they're slamming them at you. And this is his response to it. How does that teach us from earlier? Man, this is a lesson. This is New Testament scripture that we're reading right here and understanding it. Right next is the Apostle Paul. Paul, he was a lot like the Ninevites because he was brought up in this way, and this is what you preach and this is what you teach, and this is, we're Old Testament, and this guy that's coming in, I don't think he's the one that they're talking about. He can't be the one, so we're going to go against him. And anybody that follows him, we're gonna kill him. We're going to murder him. We're going to put him in prison. And that's how he lived his life. Until he saw the light that day. When Jesus spoke to him and he said, hey, but check this out. God calls on one of his chosen people. He calls Ananias. And he says, Ananias, I want you to go preach the good news to Saul. Ananias is like, oh, I don't want to. God, I know you know that guy's a bad guy. He kills us. He murders Christians. This guy, he's the one that does that. But okay, I'm going to do it. And he goes and he tells him. And then Saul does what? The very next thing that he does is repents and he's baptized into Christ. Then he goes and eats after 3 days of fasting and praying. Then he goes and eats. And right after that, he goes preaching the good news. Straight out, he's going to tell it. Look, I had a second chance. They gave me a second chance. I was a bad dude, but I got a second chance in life. And this is what I'm going to do with it. So from that point on, it was 100% preaching and teaching the gospel, the good news. And that's what he did. That shows us that even how bad you are doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you think you've done, or how bad of a person someone else is. You can be the worst of the worst and still have the opportunity to come to God, because God wants everyone to repent. He don't need everyone to repent, but he wants everyone to repent. And he leaves it up to them and allows them the opportunity to do it. So from going back in the past, we see this and we go, yeah, that's pretty cool scripture. And, you know, you got to teach your kids. That man got to eat by a fish and spit back out of his mouth. And, man, you can imagine how he smelled when he come out of there. But he went back and he did what he was supposed to do, even though he didn't want to. Sometimes we live our lives not wanting to do things. But when God calls us, there's a purpose for it. There's a reason. Let's see, what's the next one? Last scripture that we're going to read today, we just talked about Paul's answer. And if you want to write that down, that scripture is all in chapter 9 of Acts, where the Apostle Paul, Saul changes and turns over to the Apostle Paul when he's blinded on that road to Damascus. Understanding that and knowing that the worst of the worst of sinners can be changed, I want you to go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 38. And right here is where the church is established. And this is where we become Christians. This is where Christianity starts and takes off right here. Verse 38, Peter. Peter's the guy that denied Jesus. Do y'all remember old Peter? Old Peter, boy, he wants to do the right thing, but sometimes he steps on his tongue and sometimes he makes mistakes. I'll never forsake you, God. I'll never leave your side. Three times he said, I don't know that guy, because they was flogging Jesus and they was beating him and they was nailing nails and hanging him on cross, and Peter was scared and he had that fear in him. That's something that as a Christian, you overcome that fear and you overcome all of that, because we have Jesus that went through all of that for us. It took Peter a little while to figure it out, but right here, I'm going to tell y'all, this guy's got it figured out, and this is his response. He answers. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say you might receive it and it might be a place there. He said you will receive it. You're going to gather this up and you're going to get this. That man that I talked about earlier, that guy from Isis, he understood it whenever he heard it. And he believed it. He repented and he was baptized into Christ. The Apostle Paul heard it, understood it, repented, and was baptized into Christ, lived his life for him. We understand that. Peter, same way, messed up sometimes, made mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes in life, no matter how old you are, young, old, whatever. You're going to make mistakes in life. You repent of them, understand that it was wrong, and then you move forward, never looking back. Forgiveness, that's a big part of Christianity, a big part of our lives. We're so thankful that we had Jesus, that He was willing to forgive us of those mistakes and pardon us from the cruel death that we had before us. Because eternal damnation is not a place that anyone wants to spend their time. But eternal greatness and eternal goodness is a great place. If anybody needs to come forward today for prayers, thoughts, if you don't know Jesus in this way and hadn't been baptized into Christ, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.